shall we? Acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing.
It's welcome to Yarns at Yinhu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 31, Love Me Some Flannel. Sunday, March 23rd, 2014. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from Yinhu Cha Yuan, Silver Lake Tea House. Show notes for this episode can be found on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. You can also follow me on Instagram and Twitter as Sarah Pomegranate. Today's episode includes the following segments: the back porch, the front porch, and ever-expanding skill set. This week I heard from the following listeners: Ginny of Fat Cat Knits, Little Red Hen, who is Deborah from New York, and Barbara in PA, who gave me a compliment on my Apocalypta sweater. Thanks, Barbara. I'd also like to give a shout out to M.E. Bellis, Laura T1898, and Mares of the Mighty Minnows. They are part of my team on the Sock Madness competition. Being on a team means that I did complete round one, which was the Brucey Sock by Amy Rapp. Now we are on to Diamond Shreddies, a pattern by Carrie Van Kessel. It includes cabling, and I still have not purchased the yarn I need for this pattern. So I'm already a little bit behind because the round started on Friday. A lot of my sock yarn has interesting colors, striping, or variegation, and I really need some solid color sock yarn to make this pattern sing and to bring out the interesting cable designs that were created by the designer. So I need to get myself to my local yarn shop and pick up the yarn for this pattern and start knitting. Not at all sure whether or not I can finish round two, but my goal was to complete round one, and I made that goal. So taking it in small steps. Spring has sprung here at Yinhu. We still have some snow on the ground in areas where it was piled up from shoveling, but the snow is all melted off the roof, and it's a little muddy in some spots, and the ducks are back, which is the number one indication that spring has sprung around here. We have a number of mallards on the creek below our house, but what I've been seeing lately are some of my favorites, and they are the mergansers. Merganser is a variety of duck that is pretty popular around here. I've seen them in a number of places. They're much larger than a mallard, or kind of the everyday ducks, that wild ducks that you see. And both the male and the female have some stunning features. So typically with bird species, the male has more interesting coloration and features than the female. And certainly the male merganser is beautiful with white and greenish blue coloring, very stately and elegant. But the female, while the colors are rather muted, is kind of interesting because she's a redhead. She's sort of a mousy brown color in the wings and the breast, pretty much the entire body. But the head is auburn, and there's sort of a bunch of spiky feathers on the top that look like a spiked haircut. It's really cool. Right now we're seeing the merganser pairs together, but hopefully later on in the season, once they've mated, we see just one at a time. And sometimes a few pairs of mergansers seem to accumulate in this wide pool of our creek just before the waterfall. I also hear all year long, but it's warming up a little bit now, and the kingfisher is very busy all along the stream. Kingfishers are known to have favorite perches along creeks and rivers, and if I look carefully, I can identify the kingfisher perching in the exact same spot in certain trees along our creek. It's just uncanny that they don't just, you know, not just a branch, not just a tree, but the exact spot on a branch over and over again. So they really do have favorite perches, and the call of the kingfisher is a very distinctive chattering sound, and it carries very well. So even when the trees are covered with leaves and sound doesn't travel as well along the creek in the warmer months when the trees have all the foliage on them, you can still hear the sound of the kingfisher cutting through all of the leaves in the woods and all of the other sounds that happen around our house. After completing my apocalypse sweater, I put the book from which it came, Knitting It Old School, up on the Ravelry board as a prize, and I asked those people who were interested in claiming the prize, what is your favorite book of patterns, either one that you have and you love or one that you wish you could have? There were 18 participants in this thread, and I thank everyone who took the time to comment and make a post on the board. The winner was number 15, who is Val Sue, Val from Michigan, and Val wrote that she would really like to have Isolde Teague's Little Red in the City. Val, I agree, that would be a great knitting book to have. And I hope someone who loves you very much is listening to the podcast and writes that down as a gift idea. Get in touch with me with your mailing address, and I will ship Knitting It Old School out to you so you can have some fun with the retro patterns from the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. I hope you enjoy it. The back porch. After completing my Brucie socks for the Sock Madness competition, I had some knitting time because I took students on an overnight field trip. There's lots to do on this field trip, but most of it involves observing students while sitting around in the backs of classrooms and auditoriums. So I consider that to be A+ knitting time. I couldn't do anything extremely complicated or be folding a pattern and trying to count stitches or anything like that. So I did think pretty carefully about the pattern I was going to bring. I've really been itching to use some of the hand-spun yarn I spun with the Valentino 100% Merino colorway from Fat Cat Knits. And I had 8 ounces of that, and I spun it 2 different ways. One was a chain ply, and then the other was a 2-ply in a very puffy, bulky weight. I would say it varies between Aran and bulky. So I selected the bandana cowl. It's a pattern and tutorial that's available on the Pearl Soho website. They have excellent tutorials. And this was a really great pattern. I used size 9 circular needles. And for the short rows or the wraps and turns that were recommended by the pattern, I turned to a tutorial on shadow wraps by Socktopus, who is Alice Yu, I believe. She has the Socktopus blog from the UK, and she recommends a technique of, well, she talks about mother stitches and daughter stitches. And when you come to a place where you're going to wrap and turn, to actually lift a mother stitch onto your left needle and knit that through the back loop before turning. And this creates an interesting little situation where you have two stitches sitting right next to each other, very easy to identify when you're coming back on the returning row. And then you can knit those together or whatever you need to do to complete your pattern, whether you're knitting or purling. Her tutorial has examples for each of those situations. So using those techniques, I was able to complete the entire bandana cowl during the course of the field trip, and it looks spectacular. It's really cozy and warm, and it's a little more practical, I think, than a shawl because you don't have to tie it or worry about it slipping. I also think it's a pretty decent unisex pattern. So with yarn spun in more masculine colors, I think it could do very well for a gift for a man. This could be my answer to holiday gifts for some of the men in my family next year. I'm still experimenting with a number of different patterns, so we'll see about that, but I'm pretty happy with that overall. So that is the bandana cowl, and it is found on Pearl Soho's website completely for free, including written pattern instructions and photograph tutorials for some of the techniques. The second thing I completed was another sock head hat. It's a pattern by Kelly McClure, and this is a pattern that invites you to use some of that fantastic sock yarn in your stash to knit a very slouchy hat with a ribbed band at the bottom. I have been working on this since mid-January. I actually started the pattern before I went to Vogue Knitting Live, so I would have something simple to knit on the train and in the sessions. And I've been knitting on it now and again ever since. In particular, I've been knitting on this while I'm at a poetry class that I've been taking recently. And I'm very happy to have completed the pattern because it will be a gift for the facilitator of this poetry class. I used US size 2 needles, and this is knit out of Lion Brand Sock Ease, which is a nice sock yarn. I'm not sure that I would use it for socks, although I guess you could. It seems pretty sturdy, has quite a bit of nylon in it, and it's nice and thick and round. I have a couple of different colors that I've been using. So Rock Candy is predominantly gray, and then there's a coordinating color called Lemon Drop. I like to put pom-poms on my hats. I think they're just fun. So I knit the entire hat in Rock Candy, and then I used some of the gray and some of the yellow Lemon Drop to make a nice pom-pom for the top. And I immediately started another sock head hat so that I always have one on the needles, and it's great knitting for all kinds of situations where you don't have a lot of attention for your knitting. The front porch. On the front porch is a project that I'm going to have a very hard time putting down to work on other things. This makes me very concerned about my sock madness progress. But in the meantime, oh my gosh, this yarn from Heather of Highland Handmaids. I've never ordered from her before, and I've been following her podcast and looking over items in her shop quite sometimes. And I was very interested in this yarn club that she started for the new year called Snapshots from Maine. She and her husband have gone around to different sites in Maine and identified them as inspiration for some colors that she will dye up. So every month, members of this club will get a postcard with a photograph of this location and some yarn that has been dyed up in those colors. This yarn club was not something that was in my budget. Nevertheless, I've been following it avidly and was very pleased to find that Heather had some extra skeins of sock yarn in the most recent colorway, which is fresh flannel. And they were for sale in the shop, and you didn't have to be a member of the club. And I received one of those in the mail this week. I couldn't help myself from casting on a new pattern with this yarn because it is so round and squishy and awesome, and the colors are amazing. It is supposed to be reminiscent of flannel, and it is. So there are reds and grays and blacks and a little sparse kind of sprinkling of some white spots. I decided to cast on Deviate. I've been very attracted to asymmetrical shawl patterns lately. And Deviate is by Lisa Much. It is a pattern with a zigzagging off-center spine created by Yarnovers. And one side of the shawl is knit in garter stitch and the other is in stockinette. And the spine sort of zigzags across the shawl. Another interesting feature of this shawl is that you start at the very tip of the shawl and increase as you go up the pattern to the part that you would wrap around your shoulders. I'm knitting this on US size 6 circular needles. The fresh flannel is a white maple sock base from Highland Handmaids. It is 415 yards of superwash merino. It's a 2-ply. It took the dye beautifully, and it should be enough to create a very nice shawl with this size needles. So once again, that's Deviate by Lisa Much and yarn from Heather of Highland Handmaids. Ever-expanding skill set. This month, I have been cooking with spices from the bulk bins at my local health food store. There are two sections of bulk shopping at my local health food store. One is more of a traditional bulk bins with things like rice flour, lentils, oats, etc. And then there is an entire wall devoted to herbs and spices that you can buy by the ounce. It's such a fantastic resource and a great way to experiment with different flavors. So I've been researching a little bit into spice blends. One spice blend that I'm very familiar with is garam masala, which is an Indian spice blend. It's great to cook with during the winter months, and I even use it for salads and things during the warmer season. But since I already have a great deal of familiarity with garam masala, I wanted to investigate something that was new to me. And I've begun to experiment with harissa, which is a North African spice blend. And harissa refers to the blend of spices, but it also refers to the sauce or condiment that results because harissa is typically made with oil as well as the spices. The spices include hot peppers, often cumin, coriander, lemon juice or lemon peel powder, and very typically mint, dried leaves or fresh leaves. And I like this addition a lot because the notion of a heating and a cooling element in the spice blend is very interesting to me. This harissa is extremely versatile once you make it. One thing I like to do with any new spice blend or a new set of flavors is just to try them on a very neutral background, like rice or mashed potatoes. So this week I'm just trying the harissa condiment on top of some leftover mashed potatoes to sort of make them more exciting. I have linked in the show notes to a series of recipes that are devoted to harissa from the Huffington Post. Everything from rice to meatballs to a baked eggs dish that looks really good. And they should be a great resource if you'd like to experiment with harissa. As I was making this, I was thinking about some of the tools I use in my kitchen to work with herbs and spices. Some people swear by having a small coffee grinder that's set aside for use only with spices, nothing you would ever use to grind coffee because the coffee would just overtake the machine and you would never really quite be able to get that all out. I prefer having more tactile contact with my cooking ingredients. And so I'm a fan of the mortar and pestle. I have two. One is quite small and wooden, and I use that for pulverizing dried herbs, which are quite brittle and delicate and pretty easy to grind up. And the other is marble, and the pestle is extremely heavy. And this I use typically for grinding spices. And the weight of the heavy pestle helps to really pulverize those. Another tool that could be useful, and I was thinking about it in particular with making this harissa, because grinding up materials that are fibrous is very difficult. And I don't think either the wooden mortar and pestle or the marble one would be quite up to the task of grinding things like chili peppers, even if they've been softened. And this is a tool that is used also for mole, and it's used for guacamole. The porous nature of this tool helps to break down fibrous things like vegetables or other dried material that can just have fibers. It's called a molcajete. I've heard it pronounced molcajete, but I'm not sure if that's correct. That's the actual vessel. I'm sure you've seen them. It's made of basalt. It's very porous, and often they are three-legged. And the pestle-like object that is used to grind the material is called a tejolote. This is a very old culinary implement. It goes back to Mesoamerican culture with the Aztecs and the Mayans, and is used to make things like mole, like guacamole, and can be a very interesting addition to tools in your kitchen. Our quote this week is from Irma Bombeck. Once you get a spice into your home, you have it forever. Women never throw out spices. The Egyptians were buried with their spices. I know which one I'm taking with me when I go. I invite everyone who listens to the podcast to cook along with the Bulk Bins Cook Along. We'll be experimenting with spices until the end of March. There is a thread on the discussion board in Ravelry, on the Yarns at Yinhu Ravelry group, and you can post there recipes, questions about recipes, photographs of things that you make, and every post makes you eligible for a prize drawing at the end of the month. You can also tag any photographs or recipes that you post on Instagram or Twitter with the hashtag BulkBinsCAL. And around this time each month, I will be announcing what we're cooking along with next month. April will be devoted to rice. Rice will be in the spotlight, and we will experiment with a variety of rice dishes in April. I hope you join me for the Bulk Bins Cook Along, and if there's someone with culinary interests in your life, I hope you recommend the show and the blog to them.
Acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, flowery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Thanks for listening. The music in today's episode is Sweet, music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Chris DeLong and Cesar Diaz. If you like today's episode, please like the show's Facebook page or leave a rating or a review on iTunes. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire. Just like Linda Curtis, burn out on a wire. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Nature's a will get you high till your face is smile. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature.